Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the Charts Tuesday. We play jams that reach the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. My man Patrick doing a great job DJing a Top of the Charts Tuesday. You can be a part of the show on the Specs text line 512-337-3776 or via the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Hardball Harge is at Hardball Harge in the Twitterverse. And my man Patrick Davis at It's Patrick Davis in the Twitterverse. And now, we got a special guest for the people, don't we, Harge?
That's right. That's right. This is our pleasure to be joined right now on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline by the one and only Coach of the Year of the Sun Belt Conference, our man, Coach Trout. Coach, how excited are you to be named, first off, named Coach of the Year, but also the fact that your team were the Sun Belt champions this year?
That's right, guys. Appreciate you having me on. We're really fired up. You know, really fired up for our team. We've had a great year so far, and just really proud of our players and how hard they've worked and all they've been through, and to have a great season like this, just really happy for them. And as I've said, this Coach of the Year award, it's not my award. It's the players. It's the staff. It's everybody that goes to it to put the time in. And so just really proud for the whole organization. And so that award goes to them, and I get to reap the benefits of that. So just really proud of where we are, but got a lot of work left to do. Start with this week in Montgomery.
Hey, Coach, let me ask you. Sometimes, you know, coaches have a feeling about a team. They know, man, this is going to be a damn good team. They know before the season starts, they got a lot of confidence about it. And sometimes coaches are surprised by how a team evolves and grows and learns to handle adversity. Which one are you? Are you surprised a little bit by the success, or did you know going into the season, this is going to be a damn good team?
You know, not surprised. I think for all of us after the rough season of 21, we had expectations. And so each year is a new year, so you never know exactly how it's going to play out. But we really liked the work we put in the fall and spring and really liked the way they got after it. And, on paper, we really liked our team. But you got to go out and win the games. You got to go out and play well. And they've done that. And so, there was definitely expectations, but I think a little reserved based off of the year before. And so, really proud of how they came out and handled the entire season and hopefully make a good run here in this postseason.
We're talking to Sun Belt Conference Coach of the Year, Steve Trout of the Texas State Bobcats. And, Coach, you led your team to a 44-11 record, including a Sun Belt leading 26-4 mark in conference. I can't even remember how many teams you swept in all the conference weekend series that you won, but you won a lot of them. And that's tied. You already have the record with 44 wins in the conference and second highest conference winning percentage in the Sun Belt history. How does that make you feel knowing that you had a mature team coming into the season, but then you were able to go out and execute everything that you had for the plan?
Yeah, they just kept, showing up every single day. And that's what we preached to our guys, to show up, be in the moment. Don't think about the day that happened before. Don't worry about the game, the next game. Just worry about the present moment. And our guys continued to do that. And so they were hungry every day. And, teams can get complacent. You win some games or you win the series and you're on a Sunday and you can easily find a way to give up at bats or give away pitches, and they just kept winning pitches and really impressive. I thought, besides the overall record and the conference record, going 15-0 in conference on the road is just unheard of, and that just speaks to the toughness of this team and how they didn't want to let one get away, and so they always found a way to get it done. And that's something that's really special, something we work hard at from the middle game, and just really proud of how these guys would show up, but especially on the road.
Coach, when a team has had the type of success that you're enjoying this season, there is always some, trials, tribulations, some adversity to overcome. And usually you can point to that as the point where, this team decided that they were going to be the best version of themselves. Can you remember that specific point, that adversity that you did battle this year that you overcame and made you a better team?
Yeah, we had a week in there. The crazy part of our season, we've only lost one series the entire year, but it was a big series. It was at Louisville Southern, who had finished behind us, and they're in talks to possibly hosting as well. Great, great program and a great team. And we lost, two out of three of those guys. In the same week, we also lost the game to A&M. So we had a week we went 1-3 where we were rolling, and all of a sudden we get punched in the mouth and we go 1-3, and you kind of got to figure out, okay, what's going to come next? And I think since that point, I think we're 21-2. Since we lost that series. And so, once again, just speaks volumes to our guys of continue to buy in. Nobody panicked. Nobody flinched. They understand that we were a really good team. We could have won every game against Georgia Southern or lost all three of them. And so they understand it's about, you know, just continue to win pitches. And they did a good job of flushing that weekend and not letting it bother them and just continue to roll. So if I had to pick one moment, that was probably our biggest moment to get over the hurdle and continue on with it.
We're talking to head baseball coach of Texas State Bobcats, the coach of the year, Stephen Trout. And, Coach, you had seven guys on the first and second team, all-conference team, but you were led by Dalton Shelfield. He was somebody that we've talked about in the past, and all you needed for him was to be healthy. And this year he was healthy all year. What does he mean to you and this team to be able to lead and end up being the player of the year? First time that he could be healthy since, and a matter of fact, I think he was he's the first player since Goldschmidt to win player of the year from Texas State.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, he's a special player. He's a special human being. We love having him in our program. The guy works hard every single day, and he's that guy that, you know, their entire life has probably told him he's too small or not big enough to do certain things, and he just continues to prove them wrong. So he's just that guy that shows up and gets after it. And so just really proud of him. He's really turned himself into a great player. He's always been a phenomenal player, but I'm just now he's getting the recognition on a national level, and obviously being the MVP or the player of the year in the conference. And so just is really matured as a hitter, really matured as a player, and as a person. And so just super proud of him. And, you know, it's fun when you write number eight number in the lineup, you know you're going to have a pretty good day or have a chance to have a really good day on offense and on defense.
Yeah, we've been talking about him and what he means to that squad, and that's why it's good to hear. So now we're getting into crunch time, Coach. You're in the postseason. You're the number one seed. You don't play until tomorrow night. But one of the questions that everyone has asked, and it's been talked about all over the place, and if you don't want to talk about it, I'm fine with that too. Everybody wants Texas State to host. They believe that you've earned that right. I know that you put the bid in, and we've talked about that as well. But what do you think it would take, or excuse me, what do you think it would mean if Texas State can host a regional?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't talk about that much. We talk about, you know, control what we can control, and that's definitely out of our control by, you know, just go doing what we've been doing. And if the chips fall where they may, I think you would see one of the coolest scenes of all time in San Marcos if we could host that regional. I think if we could go make some noise in this tournament and have a chance to go win it, I think it'd be tough to leave us out from hosting. But we'll just leave that up to the committee to decide. Our job is to go in and attack each day, and hopefully they see the brand of baseball we play and the way we play, and they want to reward that with the host. And so if not, we'll go on the road, and we've been pretty successful on the road as well. So, I would love to do that for the city of San Marcos and for Texas State and for our fans and student body. It'd be a special moment. But, we'll wait till Sunday night till they announce that and go from there. But, yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're excited for you, Coach. And I know you're getting ready to go to batting practice. Is there anything you want to tell the Bobcat faithful about the success and what's next for you guys starting tomorrow night at 7:30?
Yeah, we got a good UL Monroe team that we'll battle tomorrow night. And just appreciate all the fan support and all the people that have reached out and supported us through the year and social media and everything. We definitely see it. We definitely appreciate it. And hopefully we're making you guys proud. Looking forward to hopefully keeping this team together for a few more weeks and keeping this journey going. It's been a fun year, but we know we're close to satisfied. This is just part of the journey. And just hope to continue to set records and take this place to new heights.
Hey, what I told you the other day, it was earned, my friend, and that's exactly how y'all went out and did it. Congratulations and good luck, and best of luck the rest of this weekend.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys having me on. Eat them up.
There he is.
Man, he should be excited, though.
Yeah.
And so what's the last time, your opinion, because you've been following baseball on time, too, Texas State had a team this good?
It's been a while. I mean, especially where they can come out and be able to – exceed all expectations. You know, there's been a lot of quality teams at Texas State, even going back to Southwest Texas with Coach Bouchon and then also Coach Ty Harrington. But this one right here, and I talked to a lot of people prior to the season, and I told you, I said, hey, man, that Texas State team has got something going because they're older. They're mature.
You did say that when Texas played, you were like, man, this team's going to be good.
Yeah.
You knew they're going to be this good, but you said they were going to be good.
Yeah,
you did say that.
And I knew that they had guys like Sheffield and the pitching staff and the back end of that, the Stivers closing out games. If they had some guys that can put the ball in play, they had guys behind them that can make plays. And it's kind of like what we talk about with the University of Texas. And you got good defense behind you. Throw strikes and let them work behind
you. That's exactly right.
And that is where this team is for Dalton Sheffield with his career, with the ups and downs. He's always been a hard-nosed player. He just wasn't healthy at times. And for him to have the season that he did this year, going, what, he had 84 hits, 74 runs scored, 20 doubles, 5 triples, and he was in the top 5 with a .393 batting average. And now he's a Dick Hauser Trophy finalist, and I'll get into what Ivan Melendez is doing right now in the Hard Knocks life.
Yeah.
But this is something that's special at Texas State, and I think they deserve an opportunity to possibly host a regional.
Yeah, no, man, it's unbelievable. Like I said, I wanted to see if it surprised him the success, but I think it was somewhere in between.
Yeah.
There were expectations that were high, but this team took advantage of every opportunity to get better. And I love what he described as the, you know, kind of the fork in the road, the turning point for this team could have gone either way. They had they lost one series all year long, he said, and that could have ended up being a tough series for him. It could have gone a different way, but this team decided to have resolve and fortitude. And now in a position where they could end up being hosting.
Yeah.
They ended up hosting a regional.
That's huge. That's huge for what they've been doing, too. So, we wanted to give them some love
because
they're in the right spot. And he was just named the coach of the year. And that's huge. That's huge. Anytime you got that on your resume, especially in a conference like the Sun Belt, and we call it the Fun Belt for football, that's exactly how they got it going over there. So that was a big win for those guys. And continue to success starting tomorrow night.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks to my man Harge. Harge got the Rolodex hooking us up. So we were able to get the Texas State head baseball coach on. So we appreciate that. And hopefully get him on again. Hopefully keep the winning ways going and we can have him on again later on. All right, before we get to Harsh Knock Life, which you are going to discuss some of the honors and accolades, correct?
Correct.
That were announced and handed down today by the Big 12 for Texas
baseball? Absolutely.
All right, so we'll get into that. And then we'll also discuss it again. 5:45, we'll talk some more Texas baseball. Got your unnecessary censorship of Craig Way. The Texas Baseball Edition. I have not heard it. Harge has not heard it.
Nope.
But we are very much looking forward to enjoying the very talented Patrick Davis resurrecting the unnecessary censorship of one Craig Way. All right, let's talk some NBA, gentlemen, while we got a little time here.
Yep.
You got the Mavs tonight hoping to keep hope alive. but tonight they have game 4. Most people believe once you get a 3-0 lead or once you're in an 0-3 deficit and holding a series, that the series is pretty much over. It'll be really interesting to see. We were talking about this with Chad, actually, when we were changing shows with Chad and Trey, Shirts and Skins, talking about this could go either way, right? This could go with the Mavs deciding they got the suitcases already packed.
Right.
Made the reservations already. Wifey said, you know, she's got the kids already. She already went to the vacation home. She's waiting on us there. They've already checked out. You could get that from the Mavs and they just get blown out of the water.
Oh no.
Or you could get the Mavs the ultimate, you know, example of desperation, where their back's up against the wall, fight or flight, and we're going to fight like a mofo, all right? You can get that. And I think that's more likely from the Mavs, from what I've watched this season. You get that from the Mavs. But you also remember, we saw when the Warriors were up, 3-1 on Memphis?
Yep.
Remember that dud of a game where they were down, 35 or something at one point?
I think
point?
At one point it was 55.
Yes. Draymond Green was dancing.
Yeah, he was
dancing. And he was dancing.
Whoop that trick. Yeah.
Well, they basically decided, you know, we definitely going to win the series, but we don't really care about this game.
Right.
This game, we don't give a damn about. You can get either one of those. So I don't know if you're going to get the Warriors who want to put the foot on the throat and the nail in the coffin, and the Mavs who decide, you know what, we already got our bags packed. We are done. All right? Vacation plans are made.
Go fishing.
Yeah, exactly. Or you get the Mavs who are like, no, we got too much pride for this. Hell no. Nah. You ain't breaking up the brooms on us. And they fight like hell on the other side. And then you do have the Warriors who decide, no, we got it won. And they don't have enough of that urgency. I don't know which one it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't either. And the one thing that I want to believe is that every team never wants to be swept. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. there's just pride that is involved with every step of the way, and I believe that the Mavs are going to come out and be ready to fight, swing, scratch, claw. But the one thing that really concerns me is the fact that Jason Kidd sounded like he was that guy that already told his wife, hey, man, go ahead and fly down with the kids mm-hmm. down to Cabo, and we'll be down there in just a minute because I got a direct flight as soon as this game's over. I'll be there by midnight tonight.
For real.
You know what I'm
private.
Saying?
Private. Flying jet. Private, man,
yeah.
For real.
Matter of fact, Cuban is coming with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Cuban's coming with us. I think that is where their mentality is.
It's his jet.
It's Cuba's jet. So I always wonder how teams will respond to those situations. But I believe nobody ever wants to be swept. They don't want to be part of that group that says, all right, you were in the playoffs, you did great. I'm in the part of I thought they were fool's gold. I got fooled. I got sold some Fugazi stuff mm-hmm. when they won that game, when I believed that Mavericks were going to be the ones to go out there and give the Golden State Warriors a fight. But after I saw that first game, I knew better. After I saw that first game, the way that the Warriors were running up and down the court, and Patrick had even talked about this before too, where it just looked like the speed of the game was just a little bit too much. I think we all agreed that the Mavs play the slowest paced game, and what the Warriors did was sped them up and made them very uncomfortable. You know, Luka was going to get his. We all agreed on that, and we all agreed that Jalen Brunson was going to be a guy that had to add to the party, but the rest of the guys needed to step up, and they have not had the consistency of the other pieces. But then you look at what the Warriors are. You got Draymond, who at first didn't even seem to want to shoot the basketball, but you had Jordan Poole, still ain't played a great game yet, but he's still giving you numbers. Klay Thompson still hadn't shown out. Steph Curry, inconsistent, but still good. But then you piece those guys together, they all have been able to step up and add a piece. You bring in a Looney, jumped out of nowhere, came and made some plays. Those are the types of things that is the heart of a champion. They've been there. They've done that. They've elevated their games. That is the piece that the Mavs have been missing.
Also, the third quarter has been an issue for the Warriors. I mean, for the Mavs. Warriors have been whipping them in the third quarter. They've outscored them 89-58 in the first three games of this series. And not only is a third quarter an issue, their rest patterns for Steph Curry are essentially the same. They rest him basically at the kind of the beginning of the second quarter, and at the end of the second quarter, second half of the second quarter, that's when he comes off the bench. How about this? The Mavs have allowed the Warriors to score 14 points, and 15 points in the final 4 minutes of the second quarter. So you've been outscored 89-58 in the third quarter by the Warriors, but in the last 4 minutes of the second quarter, usually when Steph comes off the bench, the Warriors have scored 14, 14, and 15 in the final 4 minutes.
That's
14 points, and 15 points in the final 4 minutes of the second quarter. That's your divide. That's the separation. Yeah. So they got to be better. So if you're watching the game tonight, watch the last 5 minutes of the second quarter. And then watch that third quarter. That essentially could be the game. If the Mavs actually outscore the Golden State Warriors in that time period, that could end up flipping the script.
Absolutely.
For the Mavs. Yeah. Been a big part of it.
And real easy. Yeah. If they hit threes, they can win this game. If they don't hit threes, they'll lose this game. It's not hard. They've gotten open ones all series, and they've missed open ones all series.
Yeah.
And so it's way too late in the season to decide we're not a three-point shooting team. The Warriors are letting them shoot them at this point. You got to hit your threes. If you don't, then it's a sweep. I mean,
I like the fact everything that you said that they're letting them shoot them.
They are.
Go ahead.
Because they're wide open.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, these are not guys coming back at you, running at you, trying to get back at you. These are guys running, and then they just stop and go, shoot it. Go ahead. You're shooting 25%. We'll beat you every day of the week if you shoot that bad and you put up those many.
All day, every day, and twice on Sunday. all right, we got my man Harsh coming up at Harsh Knock Live. Just really quickly, our hearts and thoughts and prayers, I think everybody's a little distracted right now, is what it should be. The news broke probably about an hour ago or so, but it's been confirmed since that Uvalde, Texas, elementary school shooting, 14 students have lost their lives now, and one teacher has been killed.
Yeah.
It was an 18-year-old high school student who shot up the school, who is now deceased himself. They have not given details as to whether he took his own life or whether his life was taken. Suspect also shot his grandmother.
Yeah.
before heading to the school and shooting 14 students and one teacher. So our thoughts, prayers, and our heart go out to all the families, to the community and teachers. It's really sad. I mean, you're talking about, that's pure evil. I mean, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's absolute evil.
That is just, yeah, and that is unfathomable suffering. So thought as, I mean, I, yeah, it's nothing you can do other than, you know, obviously think about them and give them your thoughts and prayers. But, man, it's like I said, I don't think there's a sadder story that I've read in 2022 than that story, and it's really, really heartbreaking. So thoughts and prayers go out to them. And like I said, we'll continue to do the show, but we're distracted. I'm sure you're distracted as well, and just want to make sure that we mentioned it because it is probably the top story right now across the country.
Yeah, there is no other story when you break it all down.
So sorry to break up the show like that, but a lot of folks on the Spec Text line been bringing it to our attention, which we appreciate, and we just want to acknowledge the story.
Absolutely.
But of course, we won't talk about the entire show. There's a lot of layers to that thing, and right now I think the attention should be on the victims and the families.
Yep.
Okay. Harsh Knock Life coming up next right here on Ball Don't Lie.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folk, but in front of your own, speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a Top of the Chart Tuesday right here on Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy Harbaugh Hard. You can follow me on Twitter at Harbaugh Hard. You can follow my man Rob Babers at Rob Babers. And you can follow my man behind the glass at It's Patrick Davis. You can also hit us up on the Specs text line. And we all appreciate you doing that because you've been giving us some information that we hadn't been able to follow. But we thank you for letting us know what was going on out there. You can hit us up at 512-337-3776. I want to get into the Big 12 Conference team that has been very represented by the University of Texas. On May 4th, I broke down some numbers on Ivan Melendez and where he was ranking at that time. And it was all but done that we all thought he was going to be the Big 12 Conference Player of the Year. We've been talking about him being the Dick Hauser and the Golden Spikes Player of the Year. Any award that is out there for Player of the Year, we firmly believe that he was going to be that type of player because of the numbers that he was putting up. At the time, he was batting .421. He ended the season batting .421, which is unbelievable.
He's a freak.
And at that time, he had 22 home runs. He ended up with 28 home runs, tied for the school record. But he leads the Big 12 in batting average with .421, led him in home runs. He led him in batting average. He led him in on-base percentage, and he also led him in slugging percentage. He also led him in OPS with a 1.472 OPS. Now, when you start breaking down all of his numbers and what that means. Oh, by the way, he also set a Big 12 record with 5 players of the week selections that just happened this week where he was the co-player of the week. So you sit back and you look at what his numbers really mean. Right now, he is the leader in home runs. He ranks second in batting average and second in runs batted in. He is the first Texas player to win the Big 12 Conference Player of the Year since Cody Clemens in 2018, and he was the 4th overall. But not only was he Player of the Year, but he was surrounded by some other guys that were on the first team. Catcher Silas Ardoin, who ended up batting .287 with 17 doubles, 10 home runs, 45 RBIs, and 44 runs scored. But one of the things that he was known for, this was a great year for him because he jumped up on his batting average. We all known him for his defensive prowess behind the plate. He had thrown out 21 runners this year attempting to steal.
Wow.
That is amazing right there. That shows you what he was working with. And then you also look around, you see Murph Staley. I was talking about Murph Staley being the utility guy at the beginning of the season. He's played all over the place when the injuries started happening. Austin Todd got he had to be out. He took over, moved to right field, and he's done an unbelievable job. He hit .383, and he led the Big 12 with 81 hits to go with 20 doubles, 16 home runs, 51 RBIs. He played outfield, he played first base, he played second base, and he's played some third base. So that just goes to show you the versatility that he has. And I've told you this before, Rod, if you can hit, we will find a place for you to play in the field, whether it's DH, outfield, whatever, we're going to get you on the field. Along with Murph Staley, you got Pete Hansen, who was on the first team, and Ivan Melendez and Pete Hansen were unanimous choices on the first team, but he did not get pitcher of the year. That went to Birdsall from Texas Tech. He became the pitcher of the year. But the fact that he was unanimous, going 9-1 record, 85 innings pitched, 95 strikeouts to only 14 walks, and he held his opponents to a 2.16 batting average while also having an ERA of 3.28. Trey Faltini, who was one of the best defensive shortstops in the country, was on the second team. He batted 269, but he also smashed 14 home runs with 12 doubles and 46 RBIs with 53 runs scored. Skylar Messenger, somebody who came in, and he reminded me a lot, and I know a lot of people at the University of Texas when he transferred in, of Mike Antico. Antico started off real slow when he first got here, and everybody was wondering, why is this dude at the top of the lineup? But then he turned it around and ended up being a key part to success, and that's what Skylar Messenger has done too. He batted 364, 13 doubles, 10 RBIs, 49 ribbies, and played a great third base. He was like a vacuum over there making all those plays. Lucas Gordon also made the second team, and he was a big bright spot for the University of Texas, because when the injury happened to Tanner Witt, everybody was like, uh-oh, who's going to take that number three spot? Yep. Who is going to be that guy? And that can go to a little bit of what we've talked about the bullpen too, Rod. Mm-hmm. As you sit back, he was going to be a vital part to the success out of the bullpen, because he is one of those types of pitchers, but he was great. He had a 6-1 record, 2.55 ERA, and he became the guy that Texas could lean on those weekends where you're like, okay, we're 1-1 on the weekend, we need to get a win. He would be that guy for us to win the series. He had 61 strikeouts in 67 innings, and he held opponents to 209 batting average. We had two honorable mentions. Douglas Hodo, who was one of my favorite players and always has been. I thought last year when Austin Todd got hurt, I thought he was somebody that I really wanted to see play, because the kid can absolutely fly. Yeah. He started every game in center field, batted 316, and he led the Big 12 with 21 doubles. He had 8 home runs, 40 RBIs, and he scored 72 runs from the leadoff position. Big time. And then, Austin Todd made the honorable mention list, and this story is unbelievable. The kid has done great work since he's come back. He had 326, but this is the best part. He batted 392 during conference play when he got back with 5 home runs and 4 doubles. So the Texas team was very well represented with 9 players throughout this, and it is impressive too, because they were the 5th best team in the conference.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's crazy, because they had the best offense in the conference.
Yes.
And still the best team ERA.
Team ERA. So there is a lot of that's how baseball goes, but there's a lot of expectations going into this week. And tomorrow morning, right here on the Horn, you'll hear pregame at 8:45 a.m. Kegs and eggs, folks. Man. Kegs and eggs. And I know a lot of people are like, man, I got to work. What you talking about, kegs and eggs? I got to work.
Oh, there's going to be some loyal Texas baseball fans who will be having kegs and eggs. For I guarantee you. I'm not going to name them, but I know who you are. And I respect you.
And I respect your hustle. That's right. That's right. So make sure you tune in here. You can hear Craig Way's call tomorrow morning starting at 8:45. But that's a big list of talented people. That are Texas had a lot of expectations. They started the season as the number one ranked team in the nation, and then they had their little ups and downs, but they continue to fight.
Yep.
And this is the time, and this is where you want to be. They won 5 straight games. They've won 5 in a row, and now they're headed into Big 12 play. If they can go in there and win 3, maybe 4 games this week, we got a conversation that needs to be had, because there is going to be a chance. I haven't seen who's going to start tomorrow. I heard Craig Way talking to Jeff Howell on Light the Tower today, and they were talking about possibly there's going to be a change, because, Rod, remember earlier this year I told you, I said, man, I didn't like Pete Hansen moving up in a start because of how many pitches he had thrown in back-to-back starts. And this would be even a further move up for him till Wednesday as he pitched last Thursday. Okay. So you want to make sure he has enough rest. But I don't know who that other person would be. He may still be the starter. He still might be the guy. But it's going to be interesting to see who Coach Pierce decides to throw tomorrow against Oklahoma State, who Oklahoma State has had their problems of late as far as their pitching staff. So if Texas can go out here, steal this game tomorrow, and not work their way through the loser's bracket,
yep,
work their way through the winner's bracket, we could be in for a treat headed into the weekend.
Yeah, does it help? Let's say Texas does win. What did you say that they win three games to get into the conversation to host? At least so they can keep hope alive that they can host, be a host team. Does help, right, to have potentially the player of the year on your team, because don't you want that guy on TV?
Yeah.
I mean, he is must-watch television.
He is must-watch television. Man. So a lot of people are going to be paying attention to that. But then you also got to look at what Pete Hansen has done, too, as far as leading this pitching staff. The main thing that Texas needs to get in order, and Coach Pierce, when I interviewed him after the game on Thursday, he was talking about getting his bullpen right. If Tristan Stevens, depending on what position they're going to use him or how they're planning on using him, and Jared Southard and Aaron Nixon in that bullpen, if they can get right, this could be a fun postseason for the Texas Longhorns.
Man, I mean, it could make a run. That offense, it gives them a chance in every game.
Absolutely.
Because it is historically good. but you're right, the pitching's just got to be feeling the mojo, man. If the pitching is in a good place, there's no telling what this team can do and what kind of run they could get on, because those bats, whew, they are all-time epic for the 4-Diggers right now.
Yeah, and just so I can wrap it up, I want to give a shout-out to all the other players that were on there. Peyton Graham from Oklahoma. Tommy Sacco, Jace Young, who everybody thought he was the preseason player of the year, and from Texas Tech, Jake Thompson from Oklahoma State, Austin Davis from West Virginia, Nolan McClain, Jake Bennett from Oklahoma, Justin Campbell from Oklahoma State, Brandon Birdsall, he is the pitcher of the year for the Big 12, Luke Savage, Trey Braithwaite, Maui Acuna, the shortstop from Kansas, one more guy, Roman, I don't even know how to say his name, Fansaker from Oklahoma State, and Griffin Dorshing from Oklahoma State, all part of the Big 12. And only a few players were named unanimously, and that's Pete Hansen and Silas Ardoin. Ivan Melendez.
I was about to say.
No.
What?
No, there were some haters out there.
Well, I was about to say, man.
That would have been me. It seemed like what? I was the hater.
I was about to go on a Roger rant. Ivan Melendez is not a unanimous selection? Yeah. There you go. Man, Hart's breaking it down for you. Hart's like, we'll talk some more Texas baseball in the 545 segment. As a matter of fact, my man Patrick Davis, the real idealionaire, the real MVP, he is resurrecting unnecessary censorship of Craig Way, one of my all-time.
I cannot
all
wait
time,
either.
It's one of my all-time favorite segments. We just have a lot of fun with it. We do have the Craig Way approval too to do it. Just so you know, Craig Way giving me approval and perpetuity.
There it
to
is.
To always bring back the unnecessary censorship of Craig Way.
So well, you did bring back. You brought back the other day his rapping.
Oh, I brought back the Craig Way recites hip hop lyrics.
I love that.
I do not have approval and perpetuity to use the Craig Way recites hip hop lyrics, but I just do it anyway. Love it so damn. Craig Way reciting hip hop lyrics brings joy to my heart, and so will unnecessary censorship Craig Way. So it's coming up at 5:45. All right, on the other side, how about this, guys? The last New York City payphone removed from the city. No more payphones exist. No more public payphones in New York City. End of an era. We'll discuss it in Off the Record right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to another edition of Off the Record here. New York City, right now, they are officially in the 21st century. They have the last public payphone removed. just today. It's officially out with the old and in with the new, because the Big Apple's last public payphone booth is unplugged and removed. Officials removed the historic gem Monday morning, located on 7th Avenue and 50th Street in Midtown Manhattan, and it was truly the last of its kind, literally the last of its kind. And just like that, no one will be asking for a dime to make a payphone call anymore, or a quarter, or however it costs. How much did it cost to make a phone call at a payphone? Do we know this now? Because it definitely wasn't a quarter.
It was 35 cents at one point, and then...
Was it, how long ago was that, Arch, when you used payphones?
Well, I did. I had to use it.
What did you say? How long ago was it?
Okay, so 1991... 92 and
so
93.
So in the 90s, it was 35 cents.
It was 35 cents.
And so it's like, so what would it?
But you had to put more money into it.
As you go.
As you go. Depending on how long you wanted to be on the phone.
That's true.
I had to roll up with a bunch of quarters like I was going to wash clothes at the washateria.
Hey! But you know what, though? That's why you had the calling cards?
Yes.
That's why the calling cards were so big. You get a calling card.
Oh, but they used to sting you for them calling cards.
What? Oh, yeah. That was a nice little hustle back in the day. But you had, I had a calling card on me at all times. Back in the day, because I didn't want to keep quarters on me, so you keep the calling card on you. You start the phone call with 35 cents, whatever it was, and then you can use the calling card. I forgot how it worked. Then you call a certain number.
Yeah, you had to dial the number that was on there.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. I remember that. So he said, it says here that the city started taking thousands of payphones off the streets across all five boroughs back in 2015 and switched them out with public Wi-Fi spots, like little hotspots, which allows people to use free Wi-Fi along with free phone calls within the U.S. And I will say this. I remember when your cell phone company still charged you for cell phone calls.
Yes, yes.
Remember that? And you would like be roaming, and they would charge you per text. Now, they don't even charge you for text or calls because that's not where the money is.
Right.
The money now is in the data, your data. Charging you for using the data and how much data you use because you have a smartphone. So they, all the calls now, text, if you're getting charged for phone calls and text now, you are getting hustled. All right? Because nobody is paying for phone calls and text anymore. Not even my mom and dad. And they were paying for it up until like 2 years ago. Like, dad, you don't need to be paying for text anymore. They're hustling you. Go get your plan changed.
Yep.
So now all you pay for is that. And I always said, usually if you found a payphone, it was probably in a bad part of town. Most of the time, if you found a payphone, it was usually in a bad part of town. There are no payphones in Westlake. Most of the payphones you find in Austin on the east side of 35.
There are no payphones.
There are no payphones in Westlake. They got rid of those like in 1999. Everybody else was still using Westlake. Was like, nah, we good. Nobody here needs it. We all have cell phones now.
Ron, would you?
Even our homeless have cell phones. Or sorry, our unhoused.
Ron, is someone as sanitary as you? At what point in your life were you like, I can't touch? Like, that's just everybody
that's
putting that up
point.
To their face, their mouth. Everybody's breathing on that thing, and you put that up to your mouth?
That's a great point. I wasn't as sanitary back then. You're right, because those are disgusting.
There is phones no are way disgusting. Rod would be able to do
Have
that.
You seen the people today, using them?
Not today, I wouldn't. No, not today. No. Today, I'd wipe it down before I use it. Definitely.
You'd be walking and hold it 5 feet away from you. You got to talk louder. Talk, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I never thought about how gross they are, but they are pretty disgusting. And remember the phone booths?
You got to get in there?
Always smell like urine. They always stink, smell the phone booths. They don't have them down south, because down south we just have pay phones. But up north, they have booths. But you would close yourself into the booth, and it always smell like ish up in there. You couldn't even stand there for more than 20 seconds. It was like a fear factor.
All right, what in New York doesn't smell like urine?
That's true. That's a great point. As a lot of New York City stuff smell like urine.
That's an old Bill Hicks joke. Bill Hicks said he quit smoking and then went to New York. And he's like, oh, great, I can smell the urine now. Oh, is that a dead body?
Seriously, you think I'd rather have that cigarette smoke, the unfiltered kind, smell what's actually on the streets. But there you go. Is there a payphone? Someone says there's a payphone in Pflugerville. I don't know. Where?
There's a payphone.
No, he's probably right. And I think I wonder if we're thinking about the same
place.
I know
where it's at, too. I know exactly where it's at.
I think I might know where the payphone is,
but I'm not sure.
They say, one text says, most airports still have a couple of payphones. You're right, they do. For you, like, you can use your credit card. I don't know if they take change. I just take like a card on those things now. But you're right, they do have them in the airports. Good point about that. Someone says, CB says at the gas station down the street from him, they still have one. CB says at the gas station down the street from where I live, there's a payphone. He's right. Wow. There you go. I don't know how they're making money off the payphone, though.
Well, I think it would be more expensive for them to take it out than to just no one uses it.
Just leave it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, just leave it there. Okay.
My guess is there's no real maintenance cost. You're not going to fix it. If it breaks, it's just broken.
Yeah, you're right about it. It's just broken. They probably just, you know what? Now I bet it'd be kind of randomly cool to like somebody to have a like collector's item of a payphone. Like in like 20 years, nobody's going to be able to hear these things before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but then you could just have a landline phone at this point and most people would look at you and be, most kids would look at you and be like, what's that thing?
Oh, dude.
With a cord on it still?
Oh, the answering machine?
Get the really long cord like you used to have back in the day so you could walk away from your mom, walk in the other room.
I remember the one that's going all around the house, like a 100-foot cord.
We had it because you had to do that. You got to get the long cord so you can walk away because she's standing there watching you talk to the girl, and you got to walk. You're like, I mean,
which one was more annoying? The long cord, the one that went that plugged into the wall, into the phone, or the other cord that you would have?
The phone cord.
Yeah, the phone cord went from the receiver to the actual handheld, which would be also, what, it's like a 12 to 15-foot cord?
Oh, yeah, just wrapped around.
It's all tangled up. Oh, man, you kids will never know the struggle. You'll never know the struggle.
You also never know the struggle of calling up a girl and her dad answering because there's one phone number.
And you hang up immediately because you're like, call, click.
And then your voice is deep, too, for me.
Click.
Hello, may I speak?
I'm not talking to dad. No, click.
May I speak to your daughter, please?
Mm-mm, nope.
Who is this?
Exactly. They ain't doing that. Mm-mm.
You sound 35.
Because you were trying to make your voice like, see, with my voice, they thought I was a girl. So that was always good. They're like, oh, sure, you can talk to Francine. I'm like, yeah, all right. You thought I was one of your girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say this. I think the pain, speaking of like phone calls and stuff, yes, it is painful to call and have to deal with the parents instead of the actual person you're trying to talk to. But the pain of actually going over to, because I don't know, these days it's different. Where you have to go over to a girl and get her number. Remember having a black book or having like a pen on you at all times and paper to write down a phone number? Remember you and your friends having contests about how many phone numbers you could get at a certain place? Am I the only one who did this?
No.
You weren't by yourself. Well, right? You weren't by yourself.
And that was the whole thing. It was about and you would get the phone number. And as I said, the whole point was, I got the number. And you wouldn't have a cell phone to keep it in. You kept it in a black book. And you kept the black book on you so you could use a payphone wherever you were. With your
35 cents.
With your pager, because she just hit you up on the pager with a little message. And so you got to get back to it immediately. You got your phone card and your change and your black book. And you just pimping.
P-I-M-P-ology.
Pimp-ology. That was so, dude. That's a lot of work. You know why we were way more organized than the next generation? Because of that.
You had to be organized to be able to do this.
Oh, that's amazing.
The good news is you can no longer give out a fake phone because now you just text them right away. You're like, here's my number. Let me see your phone. Let me see your phone go off.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a fake phone. I know we get on the text line every once in a while. Someone get a misconnection on the text line. Someone handed out the text line number to some poor soul.
That's a great point. You cannot give out fake numbers anymore. Back in the day, oh, yeah. Well,
is this Lisa? Is this Lisa?
You got the wrong number. Sir, this is a Wendy's. Oh, my bad.
So what you doing?
So how's your day going? For real. Oh, man. Do they still have, like, those sex chat lines? Is that still a thing? You know that was a thing back in the day?
Oh, that was a huge thing.
I'm sure,
that was
a profitable business. Now.
Oh, online what? Like what
right now, just OnlyFans. Is, that's
OnlyFans.
What
I'm saying, like, remember it was actually like a phone line you would call. And people chat. Right. They would chat and have like phone sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, not no more.
But you pay
just,
for it.
Now but
it
was just a group, in the too.
It was always
now.
A group. Like, it's like 7-8 people in a room. Which is weird.
A phone call orgy of some kind.
There's a bunch of people lying.
There's all the late night commercials with the hot chick and she's dancing. She's like, I'm lonely tonight. Why don't you call me? You're like, am I going to talk to you? Who am I talking to when I call this random number?
Right.
All right, we got to get out of here. We'll come back. Random conversation. We'll come back. We'll get into some Texas football discussion. Texas over under win totals. Tariq Milton now coming to Texas. Bill Connolly's latest SP Plus rankings. All that and more when we come back right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9.